Praise the Lord, everyone. Slap our hands unto the Lord right now. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's open our Bibles very quickly to Genesis chapter 30, verse 14. While we're doing so, let me say that I am certainly honored to be here with you in your camp meeting. And I want to thank the Price, the district board, and all of those that had the confidence in me to ask me to be here and to minister. It's an honor to be here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 30, verse 14. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy sons mandrakes." I want to speak to you this morning on a thought: spiritual birthing. Spiritual birthing. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and ask Him for anointing. Heavenly Father, right now, God, give us anointing. Help us to receive Your Word. In Jesus' precious name, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. Spiritual birthing. Rachel was a desperate woman. Her desperation revolved around the fact that she was barren. Her barrenness and sterility were a curse, a stain upon her name, a seemingly insurmountable obstacle that was affecting her self-esteem and even her personal relationship with her husband Jacob. To further complicate the issue, her sister Leah had proven to be highly productive. And while Leah had kids in her arms and pulling on her skirt tail, the cradle that Rachel had most likely received among her first wedding gifts was conspicuously empty. Her failure to reproduce was a constant source of pain and anguish, and therefore it was only natural that Rachel was feeling the pressure to produce. Pressure perhaps from her husband, pressure from her peers, self-inflicted pressure. And while this may not seem fair, it was nonetheless an integral part of her particular culture. No one likes the pressure to produce, but pressure is a part of life, and at times it can even be a welcome friend if we handle it correctly. We must look at this biblical story in a spiritual manner and not misinterpret it on the basis of looking at it through the eyes of modern society. Today, a woman is not judged on the basis of her ability to reproduce or not. But Jewish culture placed such great emphasis on childbearing that it was considered a reproach not to have children. And it is in this sense that we must view this story and from this reality reach for the spiritual principle that is therein implied. I proceed today with caution, for many will twist or perhaps misinterpret my words. But I am convinced that many times we take our lack of spiritual productivity too lightly. To many, a lack of spiritual growth, and yes, even a lack of church growth, has simply become a trivial matter that no longer bothers or causes us anguish. We feel no pressure, and many of us will even resent any form or type of pressure that anyone would place upon us to produce. Now notice that it is not Jacob who is pressuring Rachel for productivity. Neither was it Leah who was tormenting Rachel. But rather it was Rachel's own feelings of insecurity that caused her to magnify and perhaps even invent this pressure. But it was the pressure to produce, whether external or internal, in nature that motivated her so negatively that the Bible declares emphatically, she envied her sister. Envy is a very dangerous emotion. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30 declares that envy is likened to a rottenness of the bones, which simply means that envy is like an incurable disease, robbing one of power. When we are jealous of someone else's productivity, we are invaded by a disease which eats away at the very core of our life. Jealousy robs us of our power, and Rachel's unproductivity was eating her alive. But just as in the case of Leah and Rachel, we must be fair, and we must admit that God does sometimes bless one person's production above that of another. Not to provoke contention, not to provoke jealousy, but to provoke us to love and to good works. This principle is exemplified in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. We are to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. The Greek words that are used here imply that we are to observe one another attentively, so as to provoke in a good sense. We are to excite, we are to stir up our brethren, we are to do anything that is laudable, useful, honorable, and necessary in order to exhort our brothers. Amen. Isn't it wonderful when you come into God's house and you see people praising God, lifting up His name, magnifying Him? They are testifying, they are exhorting, they are building up the body of Christ. But unfortunately, as in the case of Rachel and Leah, spiritual reproduction is a very sensitive issue. And in the area of growth, many times non-productivity is a catalyst for envy and strife. As with many before and after her, she sought to place the blame of her lack of productivity on someone else. She looked at her husband Jacob and she said, "Give me children or else I die. Jacob, it is your fault that I am unproductive. If you would just help me out, I would be successful." This demonstrates, first of all, her lack of dependence upon God, and secondly, her dependence upon man. What a marked difference between Rachel's response and Anna's response to the same set of spiritual circumstances. Anna responded to the bitterness of her soul, praying unto the Lord and weeping sorely before His presence. Amen. I would like to say this morning, and it is such a true reality, that we are under pressure to produce, all of us that are here. And we are under pressure also to grow spiritually. And when there is a lack of spiritual growth in my heart, and a lack of spiritual growth in my life, and in your life, it is so common and so easy to look at outward circumstances and look at second people or other people or third parties and suddenly place the blame for our own lack of spiritual consecration and spiritual dedication upon somebody else. But I think this morning we ought to look at ourselves. We ought to look at our own lives, look at our own hearts, and realize that the real lack of spiritual growth is not because of our pastor. It's not because of an evangelist. It's not because of my husband. It's not because of my wife. If I'm not growing, if I'm non-productive spiritually, it's simply because I am not doing what I should do. Put your hands together and let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I tell you who needs to feel the pressure to produce, and not because of outward circumstance, not because of another ministry, not because of another preacher, not because of another choir, not because of another church down the road, not because of your husband, not because of your wife. You should feel really an inward pressure within you that comes from the power and the anointing of Almighty God that says, if I'm not growing, it's my fault. If I'm not having revival, it's my fault. If I'm not praising God, it's my fault. If I'm not really seeking God with all of my heart, it's no one's fault but my own. Hallelujah. But isn't it so true today that people respond to non-productivity in different manners? Even as Rachel's response was different than that of Anna's. Instead of looking for someone to place the blame on this morning for our lack of spiritual growth in the Lord, for our lack of numerical growth in our local church. And I know I'm not trying to emphasize that, and I'm trying really to emphasize the part of spiritual growth this morning. If we would somehow respond, not as Rachel, to look out and place the blame and the guilt on someone else for our lack of productivity and reproduction spiritually. If we would quit placing the blame somewhere else and look at ourselves and say, God, you've got to hear me. If we would go to the temple like Anna and fall upon our face before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I've got to have children. You are the answer for spiritual reproduction. You can turn something on in my heart and in my life and allow me to become productive. You can take away this sterility. You can take away this spiritual curse. You can take away this thing that is binding my mind and binding my soul and binding my spirit and not allowing me to be productive. I'm not going to play the blame game this morning. I'm going to look at myself and say, I've got to have a fresh touch from God. People respond to non-productivity in different manners. Some spiritual mothers just don't care. But surely they are in the minority today. For the vast majority of us, non-productivity is an embarrassing situation. This should not drive us to envy or to look to scapegoats to blame. This should drive us to the temple. It should drive us to our knees. It should drive us to a good old-fashioned weeping session in the presence of Almighty God until we hear the voice of the Spirit of Almighty God speaking to us. Hallelujah. What a different response there is in Rachel and in Anna. One points the finger of blame at third parties, and the other one falls in the presence of the Lord in the temple and says, I don't have anyone to blame, but I'm coming to you today, God, because I know that you are the answer. You are the one that can turn something on down inside of my heart and down inside of my life and cause me to become spiritually productive. After she places the blame, then she seeks to own children that are not really hers. She just wants to have children. She doesn't care where they come from. I don't have to dwell on that concept too much or too long this morning. But needless to say, there are those who would rather grow with children that really aren't their own. That must be a really, really empty feeling. There is nothing like holding and loving babies that you have birthed in the Spirit by yourself with Almighty God. Hallelujah. They're the ones that are going to love you the most, amen. They're the ones that are going to sacrifice the most for you. And I'm just not talking about the ministry. I'm talking about every child of God that is in this building here this morning. You've got to get a hold of this thing. If you are spiritually sterile and non-productive, if you have not won a soul for Jesus Christ during this year, and you are spiritually non-productive in that area, I would like somehow in some way this morning the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you. We are in the temple here this morning. This is not a blame game. This is not looking around and pointing at someone else and saying, you are the reason why I'm not growing. You need to look at yourself and say, I am not producing because I have not got on my face in the Spirit to birth something miraculous that God could bring something to pass through me in a miraculous way. Hallelujah. Rachel was desperate for children. And one day, she observed Reuben coming in from the harvest with some mandrakes. Immediately, she said within herself, "This is the answer for my barrenness. This is the answer for my lack of spiritual growth. This is the answer for my lack of sterility. If I can just get some mandrakes, this thing is going to change." The mandrake is known as the love apple by the Israelites and the sin apple by the Arabs. It was considered to be a love potion. And it was used by Oriental women who wanted to have children because it supposedly had favorable effects on procreation and fertility. Her desperation motivated her to seek to produce a child through some kind of mystical, artificial process, through the use of a love potion, or as we would say, through the use of a fertility drug. She thought that she could circumvent the normal process, or at best help the natural process of conception by artificial means. I'm telling you today, church, that God has promised us revival in the end time. He has promised us spiritual children. But if we are not careful, we will seek to produce a revival through human methods instead of using the proven spiritual methods that we know will really work. We will turn around and point the blame, the finger of blame at someone else, as Rachel did, instead of falling at the feet of the master in the temple and saying, "God, would you hear my prayer? I've got to have growth. I've got to have blessing. I've got to have revival. I've got to have a move of God." Is anybody hungry for a move of God in your life this morning? Oh God, we will try to produce that revival through artificial means instead of a God-sent, heaven-sent revival. I'm telling you, methods are fine, programs are fine, many things will work, but we must never be ever be careful that we are not substituting man-made methods for true God-sent apostolic revival. Desperation may push us to the point of trying to duplicate revival that we see somewhere else. Rachel saw others growing. She thought that she could do the same through some sort of a magical potion, through some artificial means. We must be careful that we are not substituting hype and spiritual gimmickry for the real, genuine apostolic move of the Holy Ghost that can only come as Anna found her revival. Her answer to spiritual sterility was to fall at the feet of the master in the temple. Let's lift our hands right now and praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 I'm trying to preach to you right now. Come on, church, help me out. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants to birth revival in us. Did you hear me? God wants to birth revival in this building here today. God wants to birth things within you and things within me. But it will not come through some mystical, magical formula. There is no magical solution for revival. It comes as we wait in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ until He has birthed in us something through the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Like Anna in the temple, we must pour our souls out before the Lord. Honey, you can't get this patty cake for Jesus. You can't get this just, you know, going down to a store and buying it somewhere. This doesn't come by just reaching out and grabbing a hold of it, and all of a sudden it happens. The snapping your fingers and abracadabra, and all of a sudden you've got some big heaven-sent revival. I tell you when it's going to happen. It's going to happen when you quit blaming other people and you look at yourself and say, "I'm not having a move of God because I'm not doing what I know I should be doing." That's pretty hard, Brother Hopkins, but it's still the truth. We need to quit looking at other folks and focus on ourselves and say, "I've got to have a move of God in my life." Does anybody want that move of God? Is anybody hungry? Oh, God. We must admit that there are times when the womb of the church is non-productive. And no amount of spiritual gimmickry will produce results. But as we pour our souls out unto the Lord, the Spirit of God that is within us will bring spiritual birthing to being. The Spirit will birth miraculous things through the body of Christ. If we will simply realize that we have that responsibility, every child of God has to be willing to pay the price to birth something supernatural in your heart, in your church, and in your life. If the church is His body, and if the church is referred to in the feminine gender, it only stands to reason that anything that God brings forth, anything that God restores, anything that God resurrects, will come forth from the womb of the church. I said it will come forth from the womb of the church. Jesus Christ is the life giver. He is the restorer. He is the resurrector. But the church is the womb through which these things are accomplished. All spiritual birthing, all spiritual blessing, all spiritual accomplishment will be the immediate byproduct of the Holy Spirit birthing these things through the womb of the church. Do you realize that in this service here today, we can birth something in the Spirit? We can open up something in the Spirit realm and in the Spirit world. If we'll quit playing the blame game and just get that attitude of spiritual lethargy and laziness off of us and say, I'm not going to blame somebody else, but today, in this building, in this house, I'm going to open myself up to a move of the Holy Ghost, and God is going to birth something through me. My God, I don't know if you hear me today. I said, somebody in the house today, somebody here today can birth something in the Holy Ghost. Let's lift our hands right now. Come on. God, I'm asking you to use this congregation today. Use the ministers that are here today. Use the ministers' wives that are here today. Use these precious saints that are here today. God, if our womb is shut up, if our womb has no children, if there are no babies in our cradle, everything that God does, every blessing, every miracle, everything that happens in the church is the byproduct of the Holy Spirit that's within you and within me, bringing into reality those things through you and I. For we are indeed the womb of the church. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The word belly used here is from a Greek word meaning womb. The Holy Spirit flows out of the womb of every child of God. I'm trying to tell you, we can birth something around here today. But you know the birth process, honey. It's not all just a bunch of fun. It's not just a one-night stand somewhere with God. You've got to get a hold of this thing like Anna. Get down on your face before the presence of Almighty God and say, God, I'm not leaving here until I feel something moving down inside of my womb. Until the Holy Ghost begins to energize my womb. I tell you what's wrong with us. We want somebody to preach our womb alive. We want somebody to sing our womb alive. But the Holy Ghost is within you. And you know what you need to do today? You need to say, Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost that's within me! Bring into reality something that does not exist right now. There are revivals that are unborn here today. There are moves of God that are unborn here today. There's a flow of the Spirit in your life that is latent and lying there. It may be dried up. It may be withered up. It may be non-productive. It may be sterile. But let me say to you today, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Ghost that is within you will birth something in and the Holy Ghost in your life. God can do it, church. Hallelujah. My God, I wish the spirit of birthing would grip this congregation today. I wish it would get a hold. I feel it just hovering above us, and it's within us. But some of us are just satisfied the way that we are. Satisfied with our lack of non-productivity. Satisfied with the blame game. Why don't you just say, God, today I'm going to be honest and transparent with you. I realize that the fault is me. It's not you. I have the power. I am part of the womb of the church. And you can birth something through me if you want to. That's the sound of birthing. Come on. I didn't want to preach this. I wanted to preach something else, but I just feel it in the Holy Ghost today. Some of you are confronting situations. Some of you are looking at things. You're saying, I've got to find the answer. I've got to get a hold of some mandrakes. I gotta find a love potion. I gotta find a quick fix revival. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. It's gonna happen when you realize that you are the womb of the Spirit of God that is hovering above you right now, that has creative power and can bring into existence things that you don't see right now. People can be saved. Matrimonies can be changed. Lives can be changed. Whole churches can be changed. Come on, release the power of the Spirit within the womb today. Holy Ghost, this is your womb. This is your church. This is your birthing station. This is where you bring new life. This is where you create. This is where you call the things that are not as though they already were. Let's stand to our feet and lift our hands right now to the Lord. God, I'm not going to go back home without birthing something. I tell you, God can change situations through you. It's not just through your pastor. It's not through your pastor's wife. You hear me, child of God. You are part of the womb of the church. The Spirit dwells within you. And the Spirit has creative energy, has creative power. The Spirit can energize your womb today, and you can bring forth something, a blessing. God, I'm not satisfied with my growth. God, I'm not satisfied with the way I'm going. I just feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody let unleash the Spirit of the Lord God within your womb. Come on, church, come on. Come on, God is birthing something in the Holy Ghost here right now. God is birthing something in somebody right now. Through you, God is doing a work here today, church. That's the cry of the mother. It's the cry of the mother. And she's birthing something in the Spirit. Come on, church! Come on! Come on, let it out. Put it up! Come on, it's building up! It's building up! It's building up! Come on, let it out. Let it out. It's the sound of intercession. It's the sound of travail. It's the sound of birthing. I want everybody that can to come and stand quickly around the altar. Let's fill this altar up quickly. It's 20 minutes to 1. I got a lot more things to preach, but the Holy Ghost has intervened here right now. I got to hear the sound of somebody travailing. I got to hear the sound. Sound of somebody travailing in the Spirit. God, bring something to pass in my life. Burst something in me through the Spirit. There it is, there it is. Come on, church. That's the sound of the womb. God, burst something through me. Come on, church, this is not a quick fix. This is not a mandrake revival. We've got to cry out unto the Lord until we burst something in the Spirit. Come on, God is changing some situations in some people's lives right now. God is opening some doors right now for revival in your family because you're birthing it. You're bringing it to pass. Come on, there's a sound here today. That's the sound of the Spirit. God, I gotta have revival. I gotta have children. I gotta have a move of your Spirit. God! Hallelujah! It's the sound of somebody giving birth to something in the Spirit. I tell you what, I want everybody to get yourself a midwife. You know what a midwife is? That's somebody that's near you. Somebody you know knows how to pray. Get with somebody right now. Get you a midwife. Get somebody that knows how to pray. Minister, get you a minister. Get you a friend. Get somebody. I'm going to help you give birth. I'm going to help you give birth. We're going to have revival together. We're going to have a move of God together. We're going to have a flow of the Spirit together. We're going to move together in the Holy Ghost. God's going to bring something miraculous to pass in the Western District. Come on, midwife. Help your brother out. Help your sister out. We're giving birth in the Spirit to something miraculous. There it is, church. My God, it's a sound of somebody giving birth in the Spirit. Come on, church. Come on, Holy Ghost, blow upon us. Blow upon us, Holy Ghost. Blow upon us, Holy Ghost. Energize the womb of your church. Energize the womb of the church. You gotta energize the womb of ministries, of pastors, of evangelists, of singers, Sunday school teachers. Energize, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church, for just a second. Elijah looks at Ahab and he tells him, it's going to rain. You can bank on it. You can mark it down on your calendar. It's going to rain. God has spoken. A lot of promises in this book that we cherish so dear to our hearts. There are promises of a great end time outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the presence of Almighty God. But after delivering the word, Elijah goes up to the top of the mount, and the Bible says he fell on his face and he put his head between his knees. If I understand correctly, that was the birthing posture of the Oriental women. He assumed the birthing posture. He said, I've got a promise. I've got a revival that's in the book. I've got a miracle that's in the book. Somebody's got to climb up to the top of the mount, fall on their face, assume the birthing posture. Because these blessings just don't fall like that, honey. They're going to happen when you and I get rid of the mandrakes, get rid of the love potions, get rid of all of the gimmickry, and we get on our faces before God. I know this works, and you know this works. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that works. Nothing else will work like prayer. And he prayed once, twice, thrice, four times, five, six, seven times. In the distance, there's just a little cloud. The first sign of a move of God. But the promise was in the book. But somebody had to birth it in the Spirit. And let me tell you, we can. We are the womb. God's womb on the world, on the face of this earth, energized through the power of the Spirit of God, that can literally bring something miraculous to pass in your life and in my life. We'll just assume the birthing posture. Let's lift our hands and give Him glory. Let's give Him glory.